So I will get my notes and we will begin a sermon. We are trying to get the internet working. We don't know if it's working right now. We think it is. We checked our computers and it seems to be coming through. I don't know how much of a hum that you're getting with it because that's the problem that we've been having, but it's not as bad as it was here a few weeks ago when we were trying to work with it. So we're not giving up on it. We're going to just eventually get this thing working again so we can be on the internet with a nice clear signal. But we're blessed right now to have some of it coming through as well as on the telephone also. So we might be praying about that throughout each week, knowing that we do need to get this up and running because it does serve a lot of people. And we are appreciative of those who do tune into the internet. It's a little bit clearer sounding. And that is one of the blessings of being on the internet and not just on the telephone. Well, in today's world, fewer and fewer people can really be trusted. You know, I want to look at a broad range of things here today that relate to loyalty and to give a sermon on loyalty. It does cover a large range of things to be thinking about. And so I know that you might say, Jim, when are you going to be quiet? We've heard all of it. Well, God says His word is there for us to go over and over and over and over so we don't forget it. And so these are things that we are blessed, me and Mr. Fleming, to give sermons on subjects, and some of them we've given before. And some of them we have not, but it's a blessing to know that God's word is always right there on top of things on the day that they're spoken of and evidence of things that are going on around us. But it seems that mankind is generally becoming more disloyal and unfaithful every day. You know, politicians, as you know, that weekly letter we just sent out talking about what's going on a little bit in this world. But politicians are known for pre-election promises, you know, which some never ever seem to be honored, you know, once they become to the office that they've been trying to get into. You know, rare is the office holder who is loyal to the voters who actually elected him into office. You know, it seems they always forget or deliberately ignore the issues on which they were elected. Donald J. Trump, as we know, is our president of the United States of America, is truly an exception. An exception the liberal Democrats don't understand. He is honoring the promises that he ran on. I don't know why they're so blind, but they are. Satan has got them in his hand. In Galatians 5, verses 19 and 20, are seen the fruits of the flesh. And in verse 20, the seventh fruit is clearly stated. One of the fruits of the flesh is hatred. I think I just mentioned that here a couple weeks or so ago, knowing it's on my mind to know how true that is. It's just something when you watch the news and listen and read the news, that this comes up over and over and over, the bitterness, the hatred that is going on in society today. You know, today hatred is visibly being witnessed along with all the other fruits of the flesh that, as we know them there in Galatians 5, 19, 20 is. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, and all of these we can just have, probably write a whole book on each one of these articles because that's what's going on today. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lavishness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, which is that seventh one, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. You know all of them. You've studied all of them. We've had sermons on all of them. None of them escape our thinking, but we need to be reminded ever so often to keep them in the frontal of our thinking, knowing who is doing those things and those who are not doing those things. But our society, our socialist society, communist, progressive, democratic party, pretty much fulfills that personality. You could just put a big title on the front of that whole verse there of that, with that way. But our government and our national governments are better than the politicians who compose them. You know, peace treaties, even mutually favorable facts, are only made to be broken because of human selfish interests. And that's what is going on today. Very selfish people. Nations reserve the right to break a treaty when it suits them. And that is what we see going on today. Proverbs 20 and verse 6 in the Moffat Bible sums it up very well for us. It says, many persons is called kind, but a trustworthy, that is loyal man, is a rare find. And we've been in God's church long enough to know that that is so true. It is a rare find. But our great God is loyal when contrasted to man. You know, our God can be trusted. You know, we can rely on His many promises. If you would, notice over here Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9. As we go through quite a few scriptures here, as we normally do in sermons, because it's God's time to talk to us and for us to have our ears open to hear the message He has for us. So here in Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9, it says, know therefore that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, which keeps His covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. And we know that that's a multiple thousand times thousand generations, because God loves us. He's going to take care of us. You know, we can be sure that God will not break His promise. He promises us that promise is eternal life. That's the future, that's yet ahead of us, something we've not experienced yet, but we will. You know, eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promises before the world began, Titus 1 verse 2 tells us. You might put that in your notes. But what about us? Are we loyal to our neighbors, to our friends? Are we loyal to our relatives? Are we loyal to God and His laws? Because all of those laws of God are to be in our personalities, which makes us to be loyal to these that I just mentioned, our neighbors, our friends, and our relatives. So how can we get to know a person's loyalty? How can we get to evaluate a person's loyalty? Well, one, by observing how he or she lives, how he or she treats other people, how he or she reacts to different situations, in different situations. You know, we can see by a person's actions, they say one thing and do another thing. Stands out like a sore thumb. It just absolutely stands out brightly, where you can see that and notice that. But we have seen in the last Senate hearing how the Democrats acted and how rude they were to Judge Brett Kavanaugh and to the other Republican senators. That hate just oozed out of them. That seventh fruit was very obvious in their action. Well, with those thoughts, that is, those thoughts planned in our mind here as we start the sermon, we will be addressing several subjects like, what about us? Because that's who we're talking, who God talks to here on the Sabbath day. Are we being loyal to God's work? Are we being loyal to those God sets over us? Are we being loyal to our employers, employers that we work for? Are we being loyal to those under us? Are we being loyal to our word? Are we being loyal to our families, our friends, people we work with, people we deal with? Your loyalty will be rewarded. That's something we need to keep in mind. God talks about a reward for us. But we've got to honor His word and be loyal to Him as He's loyal to us. You know, when we were baptized, we were made a promise to God. Notice Romans 6, something that we need to be honoring and being loyal to. And this very thick book of God has given us some instructions to know that there's plenty of what to do and not to do's in order to be on the right track with the right thinking and building the right character that God is trying to develop in us and help us with to develop. But here in Romans 6, verse 3, it says, "Know you not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus the Christ were baptized unto His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead from the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." We also should walk in newness of life. You know, this was what we agreed to do, to forsake our own ways and lead a new life in obedience to all of God's commandments and statutes. You know, we have forgotten that agreement. I pray we haven't. I pray we have not let that just fly loose from us. You know, as time has gone by, have we let sin overtake us again? So that the conditions of the contract that we made with God have become blurred, become confused, not clear any longer. We're wondering, are we doing things right? No, it should be we know we're doing things right if we keep up with God's truth, because He's quick to correct us, guaranteed. Has Satan's broadcasting persuaded you or me to be disloyal to God and His laws? Just a little bit convincing us it isn't all that important if we don't keep every principle of God's word, God's laws? If so, can we really expect God to feel bound to keep His part of the agreement, seeing as we have broken our part of that agreement? You know, God expects us to be loyal to Him in everything, loyal to His laws and to His works. Loyal goes far beyond just simply honesty. Loyalty is required even in cases when no specific promise or command is involved. We still need to be loyal. Practice loyalty. And that really comes under the area of contracts. When we sign contracts for a house, contract for a car, contract for a variety of things, are we loyal to that contract that we sign? Or are we going to try to get away without having to pay it, without having to do whatever it is that they're requesting for us to do? You know, God has called us to do a job. Loyalty, that is on our part, means putting our hearts and efforts into that job, we've been called to do. You know, the churches of God today, as I have said before, are to be a modern-day Ezekiel. All have been assigned a job to do. All have been assigned a job to do. We have all been commanded to take a message to people of this world. The way things are going today, there ain't going to be many people left in this world. The way I see they're being killed, especially Christians, especially people that are going to churches, people that believe in a God. But the message to people in this world is what we are to be doing, and to show them the way out of their misery and on into a new world, a new life just ahead. You know, God told Ezekiel what our job is, and we just need to be reminded of that here in chapter 3 of Ezekiel, and in verse 17. Ezekiel chapter 3, and in verse 17, it says, "Son of man, I have made you a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the words of my mouth, and give them warning from me." That's an assignment God has given to you. He has given it to me. "When I say unto the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him not a warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked ways, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at your hands. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul." Our soul is going to be delivered to have eternal life, to serve and help others understand the teachings of God, his way of things to make things happy in your life and joyful in your life. And you rejoice daily instead of having to always be burdened down with all the news that we hear today on the news, which is very ugly and is not happy news. It's not happy news at all. But this stern warning applies to all of God's churches, not just any particular one. If any of us are disloyal in the responsibility God has given us, be it in paying tithes or offerings, or our prayers as called out laymen to do for one another, God says we are to be preventing his warning message, presenting his warning message, from reaching more people and are thus being disloyal to his work. We've got to get out of the way and let the message get out. That's a job we've been given to do. Not to be there as a barrier or a stumbling block or a delineator. No, we are to follow God's instructions and do the way he says we are to do things. You know, perhaps many have never thought of this as being disloyal, but it is. It is imperative that we remain loyal to God's work, to remain on his team, lest God grant someone else to take our place. And by doing that, it would naturally be stealing our crown. And we don't want anyone hands or fingerprints on our crown that God's promised us. That's ours. God has promised us that. You know, we are all in this great work of God's together. We must all work together as a team. You know, if any one of us lets down, we hold back the effect of our God-given job. We've got to be backing one another, supporting one another. You know, loyalty to God's work means to be diligent. Have diligent application. You know, God counts half-heartedness as disloyalty in Jeremiah 48:10. There he warns, "Cursed be he that does the work of the Lord deceitfully." And the margin of that particular verse renders reads, "negligently." We all know the meaning of those words. They don't need to be explained, broken apart. So if we miss out on praying daily, studying the Bible diligently, looking for ways to avoid serving, not keeping God's work utmost in our mind, then it is the same as being disloyal to the job and work that God has assigned us. We've been assigned a job. And with that job is responsibility. You know, perhaps some haven't even thought about it this way, but it's true nevertheless. You know, we are called to learn to be 100% loyal to whatever God has given us in His work to do. And it all begins on our knees before God, praying for that merciful God to have mercy on us, knowing who we are and what we are. You know, God uses human instruments to do His work and to oversee His church. Another point here is, are we loyal to those God sets over us? You know, we are commanded in Hebrews 13 and verse 17 to be loyal in obedience. Hebrews 13. And I want to read verse 17 there. In Hebrews 13 and verse 17. It says, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. That's pretty clearly said. God loves us. He is proud that we are in His army and wearing the suit and the uniform to fight the battles that He knows that we would be fighting and battling against. That is Satan's world that we are living in. Well, where should we stand in an event if God sets someone in an office over you and they are not doing all that they should be doing? You should still be loyal. The life of David provides an outstanding example of that respect. You know, David was loyal to King Saul, even when Saul was out to kill him. You know, David did not feel it was his prerogative to take over Saul's authority. David realized that he had no right to treat with contempt the office Saul still held. Notice over here in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel in chapter 24. I'll talk a little bit here about David and David's life. God put it there for us as an example to use. So we'll pull some information from him here. In 1 Samuel 24 and starting with verse 1. And it came to pass, when Saul was returning from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of Engedi. E-N-G-E-D-I. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rock of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained inside that cave. Then David arose and cut off the skirts of Saul's robe privately, and it came to pass afterwards that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master. And the Lord anointed to stretch forth his mind, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. He's been appointed that specific job, and David recognized that. In other incidents, David again had the opportunity to kill Saul. He probably could have done it at that point there in that cave. But here we can read of another incident. Humanly speaking, it would have seemed the right thing to do, knowing that he would immediately become king himself in Saul's place. But David, again, restrained himself, that is, from such action out of loyalty to Saul's office. Here in 1 Samuel chapter 26, a couple chapters over here that you're already in, 1 Samuel, chapter 26 and verse 9. And David said to Abishai, "Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" So you see the importance of an office that God puts somebody in. You know, from time to time, the ministers in the worldwide Church of God were transferred to new areas to serve in. You know, when that happened, members needed to be as loyal to the new minister as they were to the one who left for another assignment. The church moved them around about every 5 to 8 years to get a new, different perspective of God's word from a different personality. And that's what's a blessing of having more that's able to speak and speak of God's word, to find other personalities that God has and can use to help out, to smooth out the more of the personality that God wants to project into us. Well, when that happens, members needed to be loyal to that new minister as they were to be the one left to this new assignment, and that is several times. I know I've been through that experience as long as we've been here in the church, my wife and I. But there's something to remember is it is God who places each man in his respective office. You know, we can see the principle clearly by observing the changing of Joshua to the office Moses held. Here in Numbers 27, you might want to go over there and we can see some evidence of that I just said. In Numbers chapter 27 and in we're going to read verse 18 to verse 20. In verse 18 it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Take Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is a spirit, and lay your hands upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all of the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And so, and you shall put some of your honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient." That's passing authority on, which God was telling in this instance, passing it from Moses to Elijah. To Joshua. But disloyalty to those over us is an inherent abhorrence to God. You know, he cannot use anyone who has this kind of a trait. Well, do you remember what happened to Korah? Another story in God's word for us to have an understanding of. I've not gotten into a sermon on that in a long time. I might try to need to work on that. But Korah and his associates who despised the office Moses held, and you can read that whole story in Numbers 16, but God upholds the office of those over us and respects us to do the same. Korah had a hard time handling that. And those who were, as I use the word, associated with him. You know, moving on here to another thought, we are to be loyal to our employers. We're still living in Satan's world here, and so there's a message here for us from God's word in that we are to be loyal to our employers. You know, labor management relations problems continually plague the world and commerce and industry. We don't escape it. Your workers strike to achieve their ends, be it to justified or unjustified. You know, many are out to make as much money as they can with as little effort as possible. That seems to be the trait today in our younger generation, and I'm sad to see that happening, and it's a shame that it is, but it is. You know, many are out to make as much money as they can without putting much effort into it. You know, they have no loyalty for companies, supervisors, or employers. God tells us who have been called and are working employees to set a good example of faithfulness and service. So God's name will not be blasphemed, because those people have probably read some of God's word and understands that there are rules from God's calling that we have to obey, and yet we're still working in Satan's world, and it goes in the opposite direction of Satan's thoughts and ways. But together, let's look through some verses here that talk about servants. There's about three different places I want to go to here. If you want to just take them down, and I'll just read them to you, because I think they very well need to be understood. What I'm saying is coming from God's word to Jim, and I want it to be passed on to you. Beginning here in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 1, it says, "Let as many servants, employees as are under the yoke, count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and the doctrine be not blasphemed." Next, Titus 2, verses 9 and 10 says, "Exhort servants, employees, to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not prolonging, but showing all good in fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrines of God, our Savior, in all things." These are important scriptures. That's why I didn't want to leave them out. Ephesians 6, verses 5 to 7, it says, "Servants, be obedient," same thing, "to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart unto Christ, not with eye service as man pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to man." In other words, don't be a man pleaser. That's what he's talking about there. But to be obedient to God's word and the service to it that he's teaching us. You know, Paul made it plain that we are to consider service to our human employer the same as servants to Jesus the Christ himself. If we put it in that perspective, I think you will all move forward in whatever position you're in. Your question, what if a company treats his workers selfishly and dishonestly? Well, we find an answer to that particular question over here in 1 Peter 2. Like I say, God has answers for all these things, and we're covering a great deal of them here today. And it all is short, like little short sermonettes, but it's putting it all together. It's building character for us, to build the character God wants us to have. Here in 1 Peter 2, verse 18, here again we're labeled servants. "Be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. For this is thankworthy, if a man, for conscience toward God, endured grief, suffering wrongfully." And we've all been sitting in that seat at one time or another. Suffered wrongfully. Well, if you have good and thoughtful employer, especially one who is also a good, God-fearing person, I think it's easy to forget he is also over us. You know, we should respect him as an employee and have a job as a boss, giving him the loyalty to man hours, hard work, and dedication. You know, as Paul said over here in 1 Timothy 6, 2, "And they that have believing masters, employers, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefits of God's word. So you can see God has an awful lot to say to us about our daily lives as well as the lives of the new world that we want to be gaining ground on in this life to be there in that new world, that we can be useful tools in God's hand. Well, addressing now tardiness. Move to another little subject here, tardiness. You know, being often late to work and having a slothful approach to work can earn a person judgment and dismissal from the companies that he might be working for. You know, some in God's church expect brother employers to put up with such disloyalty without complaint. As you know, as things we find in our jobs, that there's favoritisms, and there's a lot of different stories on that, something that all of us have one time or another experienced. An employer who is a fellow member of God's church is more hesitant to correct or fire a worker who is also in the faith. And yet, that person that you would like to fire, and the employer don't do that, has got the right principle of God of wanting to do right without hurting the other person's feelings or the person losing his job. But sometimes there has to be a hard decision made and that person has to be fired to learn a lesson. You can't sit back and have service to you and not you serve others. But this is all the more reason for one to avoid tardiness, being absent or slothful. You know, we are to be 100% faithful and loyal to our employers. Okay, now let's look at being loyal to those under you. If you are an employer and a boss, you know, loyalty is a two-way street. It is hypocritical being loyal only to those over you and not also to your subordinates. You know, even David had this mistake, or made this mistake. You know, he was disloyal to one of the devoted soldiers who remained absolutely loyal to him. This leads to the greatest of all sins of David committed. We read of that account over here in 2 Samuel, back to the Old Testament where we were a little while ago, in 2 Samuel, in chapter 11. Uriah was one of the top warriors in David's army. You know, he was noted for his bravery and valor. He was trustworthy. David could assign him a job and it would be taken care of and handled exactly the way David would want it. But Uriah, unfailing loyalty and devotion contrasted greatly with David's disloyal and disrespect action toward him. Two complete opposites. You know, to cover up his adultery with Uriah's wife, David finally resorted to murder. Here in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and in verse 14, and it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and said, send it all by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying, set you Uriah in the forefront on the hottest battle and retire you from him that he may be smitten and die. What a horrible thing to put on your conscience to do something like that. And it came to pass when Joab observed the city that he assigned Uriah into a place where he knew that valiant men were there. And a man of the city went out and fought with Joab. And there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah But David sinned, and for this sin, David paid dearly. Though he was completely forgiven when he repented of what he had done, the mercy of God was showered upon him. But he could see and read his heart. It was a sincere, earnest repentance. It wasn't something just for show. Well, those who are over others, be it friends, relatives, employers, do you give them the same loyalty you expect to receive from them? You know, turnabout, fair play. Husbands, are you loyal to your wives and to your children? Do you back up your wives when it comes to the importance of subjects of child rearing? How many battles go in on within families? Or do you fall down in this respect? You fall short of the responsibility God has given you. That's why you have children to train and to be good examples for them, so they don't become lazy and slothful and want to be paid for doing nothing. You know, in admonishing servants to be faithful and loyal to their masters, God at the same time tells the masters to be loyal to their servants. It goes one back and forth. Each need to be loyal. Notice here Ephesians 6 and verse 9. Bring in another of God's conversation here with us. Here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 9. It says, "And you masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him." Another trait God's trying to teach us. All these things I'm talking about here today, it takes work. Over and over and over work. Not one time out and say, "I got it rock solid now, I don't have to worry." No, it takes constant studying and work and seeing it and hearing it over and over and over from God's Word. Here and again in Colossians 4 and verse 1, it says, "Masters, forgive unto your servants that which just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." That's in Colossians 4 and verse 1. You know, those who are not loyal to those under them, who defraud their employees, who hold back their just and equal wages, will have to answer to God, the head chief. In James 5, in the New Testament, again, we stay there, and in verse 1, James 5, and in verse 1, says, "Go to now, you rich man, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupt, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasures unto yourself for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you keep back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. You have lived in pleasure on this earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter." So God demands that we be loyal to those under our authority, and as he who is over all is loyal to us. You know, in plain language, we are to be loyal to our word. God hears it, reads it, knows it before it ever comes out of our mouth, because it comes from the mind, the heart. which God does read. Well, at the beginning of this sermon, we saw that God is loyal to His Word and that He can have faith in what He said, that we can have faith in what He said. You know, He expects us to be the same. Looking at another subject here as being a long time since, recalling what Jesus said about not swearing, an account in Matthew 5 and verse 33 to 37 that I just want to touch bases on lightly, something that we've all heard, I'm sure, in the past many times, but I want to bring this into the part because it's talking about loyalty, that we need to be truly having these scriptures down in our thoughts, at least once again, because once we don't hear them for a while, they're all of a sudden forgotten. But here in Matthew 5 and verse 33, it says, "Again, you have heard that it has been said by them of old time, you shall not forswear yourself, but shall perform unto the Lord thy oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is His footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make your hair white or black. But let your communication be, yea, yea, or nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these comes of evil." So we should see there's, you may put a question mark where God puts a period in. And we should be able to say truthfully a yes or a no. Well, in the Old Testament times, God's people, like others, often backed up, you know, their promises or statements with an oath, taking before God or using God's name and using that as their yea, yea, or no, no. You know, they felt this bound them to tell the truth or to do as they said. But Christ tells us that our word as a New Testament called Christian should be enough. Yea, yea, or no, no, with a period. You know, we shouldn't need to have anything to support what we promise. When we say we will do something, everyone should know we mean it. Should be no question in a person's mind when you're dealing with some problem like we're talking about here. Yea, yea, or no, no. Well, yet it is a sad fact that some breaking God promises are breaking promises on the slightest excuse. You know, we don't see that matters very much as they think in their own mind and thinking. By this action, we manufacture a credibility gap that is for ourselves, and we break the ninth commandments, which tells us to not to bear false witness. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to break the commandments that God puts before us to not break. But what shall we do when we make an arrangements or a promise with every good and right intentions, and then later something crops up, as we've all had that happen, preventing us from fulfilling our word of what we were using at first? Well, in this case, we are obligated to explain about our change of plans and apologize for not being able to carry out what we said, as we've had that experience here in the church over the telephone, the internet. We say one thing and then all of a sudden it doesn't happen. And that's something that I had to apologize for and do apologize. And I pray that God will accept that apology as well as you. But some don't even do that. Such negligent makes one untrustworthy and disloyal to others. You know, they will find it difficult to believe what such a one says in the future. Your word has no meaning. It's just hot air coming out of your lips, out of your mouth. Well, notice here Proverbs 13 and verse 17. Proverbs 13 and verse 17. There it says, A wicked, that is, untrustworthy or disloyal messenger falls into the mischief, but a faithful ambassador is help. A faithful ambassador is help. We, brethren, are ambassadors for Christ. You know, we must be loyal and faithful, establishing a reputation for being men and women of our word. Loyalty will then be rewarded. You know, many ages ago, a great archangel became disloyal to his creator and tried to usurp God's authority and his position that he held. And as a result, Lucifer was cast down and soon will be dismissed from the governmental office that he is today holding. You know, similarly, no called out one who is disloyal or unfaithful may qualify for a position in God's future government here on earth. You know, we must prove our loyalty to God in every aspect of our lives today. You know, God must know that we will remain loyal to Him for all eternity. He will not have any potential adversaries in His family. It's not going to happen. You know, we must prove here and now that we will never follow the path Satan took. We don't want to be in his army. We don't want to bear the fruits of Satan. We want to bear the fruits that God produces. You know, for only the absolutely loyal will qualify for rewards in the kingdom of God. Well, in closing, remember, God is loyal to us. You know, He will not let us down. He promises that in Proverbs 28:20, in faithfulness, loyalty, man shall abound with blessings. So be loyal, and you will inherit those blessings. So with that, I will turn services back over to Mr. Fleming.